Morning, Amy.
Morning.
Nice to have you with us today.
Thanks.
And a client lawyer from Newton Solicitor. What's a client? I've never heard that phrase before.
Private client really covers all bases.
Oh, right.
So I do like wills, powers of attorney, trust, court of protection, a little dabble with the conveyancing side. You do cover so much.
Yeah.
So I think they've just covered it as private client.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you mentioned wills, and wills are very important things to have, aren't they?
They are indeed.
And update, that's the other thing.
Yeah, so actually I've just been doing a review of our will bank because I've been sending out letters to say, look, I've seen you've made a will maybe 10 years ago. Your circumstances might have changed.
Yeah.
Maybe grandchildren have come on. Sadly, people divorce or have died. And it's really important to update the will to make sure the right people get the right amounts of money.
Well, on my will, one of the doodahs that look after the will, I can't remember.
The executors,
he's died.
Ah.
Bless him. So he won't be executing anything.
No, he won't.
No. So I have to change the will to put a different executor in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
See, I know what I'm talking about.
Very good.
I'm not as dumb as
I look.
You
need a job.
Can people make their own wills?
So, I do find clients have come to me and said, look, we made a homemade will. I think they can go to the post office and they get something that they can just write themselves. But I've had some experiences where people have made homemade wills, thought everything was in place, and it was just invalid because, sadly, they just didn't have the expertise to do it properly.
Yeah, and I suppose because it's a legal thing, it is very important to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and everything.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people think it's wills are quite easy, but actually they're much more complicated when you're looking at stepchildren or second marriages. You're looking at mixed assets, sole assets, all them types of things. Sadly, I've found more and more people actually want to exclude children or siblings or whatever in wills.
Mm.
So if they don't do your will properly, they will actually inherit if it's an invalid will. So you've got to be careful.
Okay. So how do we go about then generating a will, and is it expensive?
So I would like to say no, but it depends what's expensive to people. So you're looking at maybe a couple of £100 if you're a married couple and you want to leave things to each other and then the children. Maybe put in some provisions for guardians if you've got younger children, funeral wishes, a couple of legacies, so monetary gifts to people if you die.
Like Beverly FM.
Yeah, like Beverly FM, you know. Any charities. So you're looking at a couple of £100 to secure that to make sure it's valid. If, sadly, you don't make a valid will or don't have one, you could be looking at thousands of pounds to deal with the matter later.
And, of course, that's somebody else's problem as well, isn't it?
Exactly.
So not only are they going through the loss of a loved one, but they're then having to sort out and probably pay a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now, there's one particular thing that I wanted to touch on today, and that is dealing with powers of attorney. I know of a situation where somebody is diagnosed with a life-changing illness, whether it be dementia or whatever it is. Can they, once they're diagnosed, can that power of attorney be put in place immediately?
So just because you have a diagnosis of something doesn't necessarily mean you cannot make a power of attorney.
Right.
So to make a power of attorney, you must have mental capacity under, I'll do some legal terminology now, the Mental Capacity Act 2005. So if you have the understanding of what you're making and understand the consequences of that document and are happy to appoint people you trust, then you are fine regardless of the diagnosis. If, though, that diagnosis really affects your mind and you cannot make them decisions, then sadly it is too late to make that power of attorney.
Depending on how far along they are on the...
Exactly. So really the advice is, sooner rather than later, get lasting powers of attorney in place.
Mm.
People like, if you've got a business or you own a property even, regardless if it's in your sole name or joint names, if you cannot make a decision any longer, it is going to be very difficult and complex and expensive to be able to sort out the business or the property or access things.
Let's just explain why it's so important to have a power of attorney. Because sometimes, obviously, things happen where a spouse is left on their own And they can't even access their joint bank account because of the death of their loved one.
Yeah, so if you, so the lasting powers of attorney are important when you're living. So if it's capacity and you own things, even jointly like a property, you need to have the ability to sign that document to be able to sell properties. If you then die, the power of attorney is no longer valid and the will is important to have in place, so the executor takes over that role.
Yeah.
So I think people get confused sometimes that, oh, if I've got a power of attorney, when someone dies, I can still deal with things. That's not the case.
Yeah. So
it is important to have both.
It's important that it's sorted out, isn't it?
It is.
And dealt with. During your course as a private client lawyer, you must have come across some pretty horrific stories where things have gone wrong and it's cost families a fortune.
Yeah, so there was one at the moment I've got, which is substantial intestacy. So an intestacy is when somebody doesn't make a will and they've died.
Yeah.
And actually, they made a power of attorney, ironically, but when we spoke to them and said you must put a will in place, they just didn't want to know because they thought if they made a will then they would die soon after. So this lady had got it into her head that I can make a power of attorney, that's fine, but not a will. So subsequently, so she died, and there are now 42 beneficiaries we have found so far living in the USA, Canada, Beverly and England. Now you can imagine getting a genealogist to find all these beneficiaries and then the legal documents we need and insurance we have to take out in case there are other beneficiaries that we've not seen. So and it comes up and the costs stack up and up and up.
Yeah, of course.
So now we're at thousands of pounds when actually a couple of £100 will would have sorted all that out.
Okay. We'll come back to how they get a power of attorney sorted out and a will sorted out with you later. Can you transfer property that you own to children to avoid care costs if you're getting a little older? I notice you're looking at me when I ask that question. It was just a simple question. And I wasn't thinking of that for myself.
You're a silver fox. You're fine. What happens, is some people come to me and think, well, if I leave a gift now to my children and just transfer the property, surely then if I need care, I'm protected because I don't own the property.
It isn't the case though, is it?
No, it is probably one of an ill-advised thing to do, just because if you need care, the first thing they're going to look at is your property, sadly. And if they see that you've transferred it to the children while still living in it and not paid them any sort of market rent, it looks very suspicious.
Mm.
And they will use the deprivation of assets, which means you've purposely deprived yourself of assets to avoid care costs.
There's a period of time, isn't there, that you can transfer property and then, you know, if it's 10 years down the line or whatever that period of time is, it's okay, isn't it?
So there's a rule for inheritance tax. If you have gifted anything, property or otherwise, within 7 years, that still is included in your estate when you've died. So if you've outlived 7 years of giving a gift, that means for inheritance tax, that asset is no longer included when you die. But there is no such rule for avoiding care costs.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I didn't
people
know that.
I know, people get a bit confused with that. So the local authority can look back years of all your activities, and if they can see, actually, you have done that on purpose, you have transferred that asset to deprive yourself from care costs, they could claim it back.
Hmm. Are they successful at doing that?
Sadly, they have taken a few people to court and it has been successful.
Okay. So how can we prevent this and how can children inherit property without care costs?
Okay. So the best advice I would give somebody is if you are a married couple or your partners and you own a property jointly, the best and easiest solution and the cheapest solution would be to put that property in your will. And what you would do is you'd go from owning the property together jointly to tenants in common. So that means that you own 50% of the property in your own right.
Mm-hmm.
In your will, then, you can say, if one of us dies, our 50% of that property goes in trust for the children. So the survivor still keeps their 50% share of the property and can live in it, but it means that 50% is ring-fenced for the children.
Can they put their property in trust before, you know, when they're both living?
Yeah, so the alternative is if you are a couple who have a property together and don't have any health issues and don't have a mortgage on the property, mm-hmm. it might be beneficial to actually place your property in a trust, so the whole property is then wrapped in that trust structure.
What about a single person?
So if you're a single person...
Say their partner's passed away.
Yeah, so if you've got to that level and you still have no medical issues and there is no property, you can, as a single person, transfer that property into a trust. What you can't do is put it in your will, because you can't then give 100% to the property within that trust structure in the will. So you're too late at that point.
Oh, very interesting. It's a delight to see you, Amy. How do people get in touch for more information on these most important topics?
So realistically, my best advice is seek proper legal help in this area, because it's very complex. Obviously, I'm at Newton Solicitors in Beverley, so they can always contact myself on the telephone, or they can go on the website and all my details are on there. Best advice, see someone that knows what they're talking about.
Great. We're going to talk divorce next time you come in.
Oh, fun.
No, I'm not planning one. But we'll talk divorce, and perhaps you'll come and see us in September, yeah?
That'd be great.
Great, thank you. Thank Amy you. Sugarman, our private client lawyer from Newton's Solicitors here in Beverley.